we present Derek Jacobi as the King and Carolyn Backhouse as Shahrazad in Tales from the Arabian Nights. Episode 6, The Hunchback. To delay the final dawn that threatens her life, Shahrazad has entertained the king with the nightly telling of stories, first gaining his interest and finally his love. But her hopes that this might be enough to save her life have been dashed.
How then to remain loving a man who has sworn to end my life, must end my life? A king whose hand's brief movement can compel and to other lives bring ruin.
I am told the matter cannot be undone. Old grey men daily come to me, advising that each new life I take to bed, and then to death, makes me powerful in the eyes of those who thought me weak. You must not cease, they say, that is our counsel. The blood of new-made wives is slight against the unrest of enemies. And still the dawns advance.
Between wall and fountain with nowhere to hide.
Greater fairness, then, in my reward.
Always you need a story told.
At least some are happy.
Oh, Lord, spare me.
Is this the time to be walking ahead when your wife is trying to talk to you, eh? God willing, I should have such contentment at my time of life. If happiness were shoes, mine would be the wrong size.
What do you want from me? It could have happened to anyone, wife.
Anyone would have been better. How many tailors in this city take pity on a beggar and bring him home for a meal? Answer me that, huh?
Listen to me. He was a hunchback.
And a sorry example of the species. I know that. No. What I'm saying is, how is it you take pity on such a creature and end up offering him food on which he decides to choke himself to death, eh?
What's the matter with you? Listen, fish have bones in them. Accidents have a way of happening. What more do you want from me?
Marriage has a way of happening. And who knows that better than me?
Oi. He looks even smaller dead.
Small, schmall. The bone in his throat is bigger, believe me. Good fish comes big. We should have had children of our own. Then you wouldn't be bringing creatures like this home.
We did have children.
Oh, you call them children?
Anyway, a hunchback is not a child, wife. Smallness is more a way of life.
Oh, and I suppose choking on other people's fish is a way of getting out of it.
Listen, we could put him back where I found him.
And if the bone be traced to the house?
So who would know?
You would know. And who can expect a simpleton to keep a secret? No, this is a broken law, if ever I saw one.
Oy vey, and all I did was exercise charity.
Someone will think it worthy of punishment.
The doctor!
Now he wants medical advice.
I believe nothing of the story.
It is true, Lord. I heard them on the other side of the courtyard wall as they passed. And from that I have made the tale.
Why did I not hear them?
You had other things in mind. Why else should I now bear your weight?
But if they are sure the unfortunate creature is dead, why do they need a doctor?
Listen now, or we lose the tale.
Watch his head, husband. Keep his arms up.
Don't worry, I've got it. I've got it. Don't worry. Oh, it's amazing the difference a piece of fish can make.
No, knock on the door.
Hey, listen, suppose the doctor answers.
No, he went out early. I saw him go. Only his wife remains, and she's hard of hearing.
And remember, wife, it's a child, all right? A sick child. Yes. Ah, a good day to you, Wendy.
We have a sick...
What?
A child here. It needs the attention of your good husband.
Tincture of aloes until it vomits.
Oh, no, you see, it cannot drink.
That is what I think.
Well, where shall we leave it?
In water. 3 times a day. If there's no improvement in a month, give up.
Quick, away, away, quick.
And there the tailor and his wife left it. A small, sad bundle at the top of a large stairway. Until, with the light leaving the sky, the good doctor returned, fell over the body and sent it tumbling down the stairs.
Who's that mumbling outside my door?
I fear I've just killed a waiting patient.
No, I'll pay at the end of the week, and one bag only, if you please.
Wife! I say I've killed a patient.
Oh, well, you're always doing that.
Are you sure this is a wise thing to do?
Now, I wish we had 2 bodies to lower through her roof. She's a well-known wicked woman, even if a good seamstress.
Yeah, keep the rope steady, wife. But she already has 1 corpse in the house. With her husband dying yesterday.
You shouldn't have agreed to treat him.
I cannot have it known that I generally kill my patients. At least not before the prescribed medication.
Another body in her house will do her no harm. It is on the small side, after all.
There. Now she'll find it on her return.
Oh, she won't be back for hours.
The seamstress slowly came to a solution. She would arrange circumstances so that it would appear as if someone else were responsible. A stratagem, it need hardly be said, from which the greater part of humankind have devised a perfectly respectable way of life. She found a small doorway in a dimly lit street and stood the little figure against the wall. And there the matter might have rested, together with the bones of the much-travelled hunchback. But, as Kismet decreed, precisely at that hour, a pious Christian gentleman was taking his evening walk, intent upon devotion.
How nice to be a Christian among so very few. The destiny of the faithful, which rarely means a you, more likely does it claim a me, respectable and pure, faithful, steadfast, clean and true, and endlessly secure. Jesus, devil, lurking in doorways, waiting to devour the all too few Christians in this heresy-ridden place. You shall not triumph, lump of blasphemy. It is clear that I have been guided to this very spot to speed you to your maker. Feel my hallowed boot, you shrunken sprite. No. Do not thank me, sir. It is a noble task. Charity guides my foot. And you shall be better fitted for the presence of the Almighty if done to death by one of true faith.
Having trouble, are we, sir? If I'm not mistaken, it looks like a small body lying on the ground. Probably dead. Total lack of breath, you see.
Good watchman. I was merely...
Are you the Christian gentleman by any chance?
I own to that faith, yes.
We had a Christian not so long ago, up before the magistrate. Confessed to a not entirely natural interest in his mother-in-law's camel. His honour considered it a very serious case. It undermined her livelihood, you see.
I do not know this figure. I have not met it before.
Do you often kill people you don't know, sir?
I was saving him.
You know, I have a feeling this case might be of even greater interest than the camel.
Be quiet! If this noise does not cease instantly, I shall go home. And everyone present shall be found guilty of causing my absence. Do I make myself clear?
You do, Your Honour.
Shut up.
Thank you, sir.
Despite the horrors we are no doubt likely to hear in the course of the evidence presented in this court, I must stress the total impartiality of my judgment.
Oh, yes.
Justice, mercy and compassion shall always be shown at my hands, even towards those obviously guilty, such as we have here. I call the first witness, the victim.
My lord, the victim.
Yeah.
The victim, it's dead, Your Honour. It cannot be called.
Good watchman, the law requires evidence to that effect. Murder is one thing, proof of the fact another.
But it won't be able to give evidence.
That so is for me to decide. Now, do your duty.
Very well, sir. Right.
And I wish it known that whilst this court is in session, there must be no attempt to steal items of clothing from anyone found to be sleeping. This has become a serious problem. I will not have members of the public quarrelling over clothing at the conclusion of each judicial proceeding. Equally, those found to be snoring will be fined. Is that it?
It's a very small victim, sir.
Yes, I shall have to take the overall size into account when passing sentence. Plainly, there was not the usual amount of effort involved.
I am not guilty, sir.
Who said that?
It is I, good magistrate. The Christian, the one that stands before you in the dock.
Have you judicial training, sir?
None whatsoever.
Then how can you possibly know you are innocent? This is a legal matter. Why else would you be here? You will keep silent until I have passed sentence, at which time you may plead your case for the benefit of those who have not gone home.
Thank you, sir.
Poke the witness, watchman. Plain to me it will not give much evidence in that state.
No, sir.
I'll remove it and bring me another. This rape we shall get nowhere before the afternoon break. No. Further thought. Leave it. Leave it where it is. Evidence of this nature must always be seen to be dead.
I have something to say, Your Honour.
Who is that man?
That is a seamstress, sir.
Is it a witness?
I should like to be a witness.
I dare say you would. Many people would like it. But that is not the point. It is first necessary to be involved in some crime. Are you involved?
I have fetched my conscience to this court, sir, and must lay it at Your Honour's feet.
Could this be a religious demonstration of some kind, watchman?
We have no further witnesses, sir. It might be worth listening.
What is it you have to say?
This man you have before you, this Christian, is not guilty of the crime of which he is accused.
Sir, I have yet to decide. There is no way you can possibly know that. You plainly understand little of the law, sir.
She is a seamstress,
sir. And why are you dressed as a woman?
I am a woman, sir. A seamstress by trade, and one that would seek to speak the truth on behalf of the man who stands accused.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Sit down.
He is not guilty because it is I that caused the hunchback's death.
How do you know this? Do you have witnesses?
Believing that I was being robbed, I turned the broom upon him and shortly after found him to be dead.
Are you seriously asking this court to believe that a person of such stature would wish to steal a full-size broom? What on earth would he do for such a thing? Its function is immediately nullified by the disparity in their respective lengths. There's no logic in this witness, Watchman. Remove him.
Wait! I am a doctor, sir.
That was never in dispute.
The seamstress is innocent.
What?
They're all guilty, Your Honour. It's a collusion.
No, if this be true, the punishment to fit such a crime will be fearful indeed. The sentence would always increase in proportion to the numbers actually involved. That is sound law.
I can do horrid things with entrails, Your Honour.
No, do be quiet.
She might well have thought the hunchback to be dead, but it was I that lowered the already lifeless form down her windshaft.
The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, shut up. Why are Christians always so noisy?
And I would like it known on public record that this is the first patient I have lost through tripping.
But, once again, I find this very hard to believe. How could such a creature kill itself by tripping when it is fatally so close to the ground?
There's a long flight of stairs involved, Your Honour.
It's true. He was long flight of fare, Your Honour.
Who is that?
That is the doctor's wife, sir.
Why?
Oh, you pay once a week, sir. Long flight of fare, you'd know him if you met him.
The woman is deranged.
The matter is arranged, sir. He's been delivering my bread for years.
The doctor is deceived. It was a fishbone.
Why don't you shut up?
Has everyone gone mad?
I've said so. A definite collusion.
Yes, but what does one do with a collusion exactly?
Mass execution, sir. You always know where you are with mass execution.
Yes, but what would I write down, though? You have little idea how much needs writing down after these things.
The fishbone killed him!
She had very large entrails, that one.
Oh, sit down, woman! It is perfectly plain to me that everyone who has so far spoken in this court is equally guilty and must suffer a similar punishment.
No one has found me guilty.
You are sentenced to having something crushed. Take him away.
Thank you, sir.
No, no, no.
Right, come on, Joe. You're coming with me.
No, please.
Come on.
Look, sir. Sir, look. Look, the hunchback.
What?
It's moving. He lives. The hunchback lives.
But she has no business living. No. It's the principal victim in this case.
Smith. It changes!
But nothing changes at what the law is all about.
It's a woman, Your Honour!
Now, why would a man, however small, want to be a woman?
For as I was first thought foul and so rejected, see now before you the face of my true nature, of beauty and youth made whole, restored by kindness.
Yes, yes. This is all no doubt miraculous, even quite entertaining. But you must realise you're in the wrong story altogether. This is a court of law where reason alone holds sway. Have a thought of rationality, sir. It's the means by which most people earn a livelihood. Now, can you not return to being a victim, since that is the matter with which this tale is concerned?
I was a victim, sir. It is true, as are all that fall outside the common way. But here, in the kindness shown, firstly towards the hunger of a reject, and then later, towards each other in soft repentance at imagined wrongs,
I was revealed as they are now themselves, whole and fair of heart.
It's going to be virtue all the way, sir. I can feel it in my liver.
Fair of heart? Of whom do you speak, sir?
I am so. I have always been...
Oh, stop that man from talking.
I offer now the chance for those who see the wealth of heart to join in gaining the wealth of the world, a treasure yet undreamed.
Treasure?
We are talking payment here.
Mm-hmm. Profits unforeseen.
He had a familiar look as I was brooming him. That is why I felt so guilty. It's why I first came here.
Strange, he should be found at my door. Of all places.
That's only because my husband and I put him there.
Indeed we did.
Yes.
And does such reward apply equally to those rather well known for extravagantly extending the hand of justice, would you say?
Whoever is my kin is equally my beneficiary.
I had a son once, a long time ago. Quite small.
We had two.
Very small.
Both were.
Mm.
And I once healed a cripple. Tiny.
If all claim me as a son, then good it is indeed. Jew and Christian, Muslim too, with magistrate as well. All will then stand equal.
Talks like a transformation right enough. Didn't get any of that.
Yeah, I've had some small misunderstanding here. Good hunchback. It may be true that others here are equal. Most certainly, but a magistrate is a differing matter. Somewhat set apart.
He is not as others.
Oh, certainly not. He was ever destined for altitude.
Yet only the humble may rightfully benefit.
An altitude, however, that never loses sight of ground below.
Then you shall be my rightful kin. And of the final treasure gained, partake.
Does that mean we can't kill the Christian?
From this day on, good I bequeath to you the gift of the hunchback. For all the future yet to come, all shall be judged by him alone, even as once they judged in turn. And so the common eye shall be turned around, the misshapen now the rule. What you claim as worthy is born of ugliness of heart alone. And so I grant you the gift of being truly wretched. That you may come better to see the hidden life of those you all too swiftly judge.
Oh, I don't have to write all that down, do I?
But this is impossible.
For most, it is impossible. But what if it were not? Good magistrate, turn. Inherit now the domed back, the larger scorn. For only what is best in you will now win back the common shape that people call their all. And on such day, all will again have sentence passed, that time by charity and smile.
And then at once the court seemed ruled by a jumping thing. A magistrate that did not know which way to face. First he hopped, then he crawled, then rested in amazement. What once had been admired
now became a laughing thing. Everything turned around.
I'll become a hunchback.
You're guilty.
This was the intended lesson of the hunchback, that worth has little to do with what is seen. Often the lowliest in appearance can prove of greatest value, and what is thought of worth prove that which later brings us low.
And all this, you say, from no more than the sound of wife and husband beyond the wall. Shahrazad, you know me as I am. I have spoken with my counselors at length, have pleaded all known reasons for your life, but I am as the magistrate and cannot change, not solely from within. It is impossible.
Yes, my lord, it is impossible. But what if it were not?
Could it be so?
Ever closer now do you spin to my keeping. Your pain will be made ash in the fire of what you feel for me. On our couch, I will make a bridge of my body, and across it you will travel to places yet undreamed. I shall be to you all that is hidden, and of the fastened doors that are now your eyes, with close nakedness, forge keys to turn their locks. Slowly. Slowly. All dawns recede.
The Hunchback was the sixth in the series of Tales from the Arabian Nights, dramatised from traditional sources by Colin Hayden Evans. The King was Derek Jacobi and Shahrazad Carolyn Backhouse. The Tailor was Harry Landis, the Tailor's wife Maria Charles, the Doctor Philip Anthony and the Doctor's wife Mary Wimbush. The Seamstress was Kate Binchy, the Christian John Baddeley, the Watchman Jonathan Owen, the Hunchback, Tanya Eisen, and the Magistrate, Morris Denham. The music was composed by Sue Harris and played by Sue Harris and Stephen Hannigan. The series was directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.